Hello. Okay, cool. We are recording. I'm going to go ahead and switch to... Okay, quickly, this is the last article I'll post in 2018. Learned a lot this year about doing this sort of thing, and I'm going to make a lot of adjustments in the very near future. In 2019, we'll start strong in a different sort of way. And I'll leave kind of my thoughts on that on a different blog. Anyway, let me just jump right into the book Endurance, which is on Shackleton's Transantarctic expedition. I'm just going to read what I wrote here because that's probably easiest. I knew nothing of Shackleton's Transatlantic. Oh, already fucking it up. I knew nothing of Shackleton's transantarctic expedition going into the book Endurance. My goal, as always, is to try to infer, even if it's ridiculous inference, how the story has affected maritime culture. And typically, I run into a major problem. Is my focus on the text, or on the story on which the text is based? For this text, I was caught up with the story, the excitement of it, and thus I was content with focusing my review on the man himself, Shackleton, and his expedition. At least that is where my brain was, until I recalled that there was a second ship in Shackleton's plan. A second trip that the reader forgets about shortly after the first chapter. I finished Endurance with tears and relief. They made it. It was excitingly written, and the adventure itself was an unbelievable trial of man at sea, beating all odds. And through my blurry vision, I quickly broke out a pen and paper and started my review. And that's when I remembered the second ship, on the far side of Antarctica. What happened to that ship? They were waiting for Shackleton. Holy shit, they were waiting. What tremendous suspense. So I did some quick research, and that research changed everything. The first thing I did was to order a text on the Ross Sea Party. And the second thing was to reframe my views on the Imperial Transantarctic Expedition of 1914 through 1917. And the third was to start writing, this time with the intent on reviewing the text by Lansing, and not reviewing the expedition itself. The text by Lansing is a hero story. It's a hero story, wrongly so. First, Lansing should have mentioned the Ross Sea Party, even if indirectly, as a thought in Shackleton's head. As we start the book, Shackleton is scurrying around Europe finding interest in investors in his plan to be the first to trek across Antarctica. His plan is to take two ships, and it is two ships that form this expedition. Lansing completely removes one of these ships from the story. This is ridiculous, and a complete denial of the reality each and every sailor of the Endurance lived. The lives of the Ross Sea Party depended on the success of multiple things. One was the arrival of Shackleton. As the crew of the Endurance fought off the perils of wintering on an ice floe in Antarctica, and there were many, they also thought of the dread of knowing that their failure would lead to a nightmare on the far side of Antarctica. Because the Endurance failed, the Ross Sea Party was to have to wait, with zero information, on the possibility of the arrival for over a year, not knowing how to ration their supplies, not knowing how many men would be arriving when or if ever. The thought of this tragedy must have been raging through the heads and discourse of the Endurance pack. At patient camp, at ocean camp, and it must have been a weight on their comfort as they set sail from their ice floe, symbolically leaving the Ross Sea Party in a state of ice purgatory indefinitely. Secondly, Shackleton created the story whereby he was the hero. This is not what a hero does. It is understood that man has personal and social drives to be great. In a competitive world, countries do all they can to find advantage over their neighbors, their enemies, and allies alike. In the 1960s, we raced to the moon. In the 16th century, we raced around the New World, over sea and land. And in Shackleton's age, 1915 and 1916, there was only one apparent place left to conquer, Antarctica. Ironically, Shackleton had already made headlines with previous expeditions to Antarctica. The Dutch had already made it to the South Pole by the time Endurance set sail. And the waters around the southern continent were well-traveled and known to explorers and whalers alike. A successful expedition across Antarctica would prove nothing with any scientific or commercial use. The Imperial Trans-Antarctic Expedition of 1914 and 1917 was an endeavor to boost the tribal heartbeat of a country. It was not a worthy endeavor to risk so many lives. And since Shackleton dreamed, packaged, and marketed this expedition, he did so for his own ego. He wanted to be recognized. And so he led these men to their icy fates in vain. This is no hero. Physical endurance and manipulation skills don't make heroes. The men who carried Shackleton's weight and the men who pointed towards true north and calculated the correct latitudes and shot their own beloved dogs to feed the groups were the heroes. And even that feels disgusting to say. Finally, where are the 20 sailors in this story? What the fuck? Why is that so many sea adventures leave out the majority of the crew? There are 28 men aboard the Endurance, and this text only mentions 8 of them with any significance. The 20 unknowns undoubtedly had it the hardest, as they were not as well prepared, dressed, or informed as their officers. Story after story in the maritime, there is a focus on upper class, the officer class, and the intellectual class as the main characters, and this focus has a negative impact on the lives of the working class sailor. It's robbed them of proper recognitions of their inputs and struggles. It has disregarded their attitudes and beliefs as inferior, and it has ignored their skill set and has asserted that they are replaceable. Well, I believe Shackleton is replaceable. There are tons of wealthy brats with deep social networks who endanger and take the lives of many hardworking men, all to prove superiority in a game of egos. In conclusion, Lansing's book Endurance is a page-turner. The adventure itself is fucking amazing. The ice flows, the sounds, the hardships are all brought to life. And though the book is worth the read, the reality of the situation is sadly missed. The men all survived the winter of ice, even though some lost body parts due to frostbite, and they had to eat their dogs. Though the men on the far side of the continent, the party sent to leave food supplies and pick up Shackleton's party, did not all survive. And we should question the author for not mentioning this. We should also question the author for his focus, which is on the men who had the easiest during this trial, not the unprepared seamen. Lansing's book has surely encouraged many a man into adventure, though I wish it would encourage more men into thinking about the societal serving they are receiving from the upper class, both the social and intellectual classes. And that's my quick review. I do plan on reading the Ross Sea Party adventure next. Maybe not next, but within the next month or two. And when I do, I'll make sure I follow up on this article.